The sales robots have taken over, and they're decimating deals left and right, destroying them right in their tracks. On the AI for Sales podcast, our mission is to empower everyday sellers to embrace AI superpowers to build new bridges and crush quota. Dr. Joel Aban said it best in the AI for Sales book, "In sales, time kills deals. In AI for Sales, AI kills time." Join our hosts as we learn from the C-suite of the world's fastest growing companies about how you can leverage AI today to transform your sales revenue engine while being the best version of you.
Hey everybody, Chad Burmeister, and I'm your host of the AI for Sales podcast. And we're here to talk about artificial intelligence in sales. And specifically, we're going to talk a little bit about the RevOps function today. So I'm here with Seamus Ruiz Earle, who's with a company called Carabiner Group. And if you haven't heard of them, I guarantee you will. It's the first RevOps as a service organization. And having been in the space for a long time in technology sales, it's a very, very important role. So Seamus, welcome to the call. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Chad. Looking forward to talking about AI. Really exciting stuff.
I just came off of the B2B MX conference in Arizona, and there were a lot of people from John Miller, former co-founder of Marketo, to Bill Binch, who was also a big part of that, and Oracle before that. A lot of people there, and RevOps was obviously one of the top topics of the week. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Before we dig in, I like to ask the question to help our audience get to know you. Tell us about when you were younger, like 5, 6, 8 years old. What was your thing? What was your passion then? Mm. And did you know that would lead to what you're doing now? Like how did those two things tie together?
Yeah, you know, aside from being a colossal pain in my parents' rear end, I'd say one of my favorite pastimes was reading. I was a voracious reader, voracious learner. And you know, you couldn't put a book in front of me that I wouldn't consume as fast as I possibly could. There's a lot of different ways where you can, at the very least, attribute the skills that were, you know, learned from that time to where I'm at today. I think, you know, it's the similar concept of we succeed because we want to learn so much about our businesses that we work with. And we're so invested in that process that it just enables us to be successful in the terms of the technologies we apply in the same way. So at the very least, I don't have as much time to read these days as I used to, but it's certainly there's a couple of dotted lines between the two.
I love it. Well, I'll tell you an app, if you're interested in enhancing your ability to consume words on a page, it's called Infinite Mind. Mm. And this guy, his kids are both part running multi-billion dollar companies, unicorns, both of them. And these, I think he has 3 or 4 kids. So 2 of the 4 are multi-billion dollar companies. And they attribute a large piece of that to their ability to consume data faster than most. He sold this as a book for years and made hundreds of millions of dollars on the book sales. And now it's converted into an app that literally in 10 to 15 minutes every other day, you can be able to consume hundreds of words and thousands instead of dozens.
That's incredible. That's awesome. Now I'll have to look it up.
AI for the mind. That's something we all need. If your, you know, 8-year-old self walked in the room and knocked on the door and said, "Man, great job, Seamus. You're doing exactly what I thought we'd be doing by now." Is there anything that he might tell you? You know, what about this? You know, you left this one piece on the table. Are there any gaps in what you're doing now, what younger Seamus might have thought you'd be doing?
You know, I think younger Seamus was planning on being a college professor. So he might be a little bit, I wouldn't call it disappointed, but surprised at where we turned out today. I do think that there is certainly a component about teaching. It's one of the things we're doing now. Part of the RevOps space, and probably similarly in the machine learning AI space, is that there is a talent gap, right? There's a group of people up here at the top who know what they're talking about, and they know everything that needs to be done. And then there's folks here who are interested, but this middle phase of folks at various different, you know, ranges of progression in their career, that's missing. And there aren't apparatuses for those folks to get from one end up to the other. And so I know that he, the younger Seamus, would certainly be very passionate about trying to bring along folks who have genuine interest in the subject, but need just a little bit of mentorship and training along the way.
That's cool. I love it. So younger Seamus would probably actually be impressed that current Seamus is above what he thought you might be doing. So that's pretty neat. Tell us about AI in the sales motion, having worked for places like Riverbed Technology and WebEx and RingCentral and On24. You know, these companies all had to report to the street at some point. And so I remember the push leading up to that was like, oh, don't talk to us for 3 weeks because we're going to be really busy with our heads down and on the weekends. Where does AI play a role in all of that?
Goodness, I mean, where to begin, right? I mean, I think when we think about AI, there's the applications of such technology are drastic. And, you know, 5 years from now, that's going to be applied in ways we can't even fathom today, right? But between now and then, particularly as it pertains to sales, we in RevOps view AI as an enablement technology, right? And really a multiplicative effect on the expertise of a human salesperson, right? If you think about it, there's only 24 hours in a day. About 6 to 8 of those need to be spent sleeping, right? And that leaves you with a limited amount of time to do, you know, what salespeople do best, right? Connecting people with solutions. And AI is supposed to make that job easier and better, transform those remaining 16 hours into something that more closely resembles 32 or 36 or 38 or 45, right? Like a significantly more in terms of output. And that's what, you know, when we look at dwindling human capital components and this talent shortage that's in the space, we see AI as being a space that, frankly, more and more companies need to be considering to augment their current sales motions.
I love how you put that. I can re-articulate that because I have the recording. So I'm going to have to listen to that more than once because I think that's very well stated. The elephant in the room question that I usually hold till the end, but I'm going to bring it here, is will that have an impact on salespeople and, you know, needing less salespeople? Or what are your thoughts on, you know, oh, is this going to impact my job in a negative way?
Well, I view salespeople in one of two camps. I view salespeople as either they participate in a transactional sale or they participate in a relational sale. And if I were a salesperson today, 25 to 40 years of age, right, they need to kind of have a career ahead of them, right? I would be focusing on doing everything I can to hone my relational sales skills, right? Part of what has made us so successful in our sales motion is that we're not there to just take your money, right? We're there to build a relationship. And I teach my sales folks to be effectively the person you meet at the bar, who you make a good connection with, who happens to know the person who can solve your problem, right? That's all it is, right? It's being a friend. It's giving more than you're getting. And so I don't think that AI will ever be able to replace that component, that human component to sales. But I do think that transactional sales are going to become more and more dependent on AI and technology as a whole, and salespeople are going to need to transition to being highly human-centric, right? Understanding the needs of a customer more than a machine will be able to do, and connecting with them on that human level that keeps what are effectively not super differentiated products differentiated by the personal connection of that sales rep. So why do you pick one enablement technology versus the other? It's because you have a good connection with the person on the other end of the phone, on the other end of the computer, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, in the book that we put out, it's been 2 years now and I can't believe it, but it's called AI for Sales. And Dr. Joel Laban wrote the forward and the backward. And he read the book twice. So he's probably read it two more times than I have. But I wrote it. And he says in former sales or in regular sales, time kills deals. In AI for sales, AI kills time. And so what we just opened with for the first 5 minutes of this conversation was all around, what if you could be, instead of 15 hours worth of sales effort in a week, what if you could be at 25, 45, or even 60? And that's really what we're talking about here is, in fact, our company just rebranded to Exponentially Human.
That's exactly the way I look at it, right? That's because at the end of the day, right, and I come from a financial services background. That was where I started. Everybody there does the same thing, right? Everybody there does the same thing. Very rarely are you going to find someone who has a silver bullet that's going to get greater returns than another by a noticeable margin. It's all about fundamentally understanding how humans make decisions. And we are tribal person, a tribal human being, right? A tribal organism. And we want to feel a connection to those that we're giving our money to and trusting that what their product is actually genuine. And so that exponential factor, it just leaves more and more ability. It's like an exoskeleton or something, right? That enables us to be an even stronger, more powerful version of the salespeople that we are.
Well, and it seems like over the last maybe 3 to 5 years, more mindset and transformation and those things causing you to look internally at who you are as a person. Why am I here? Answering some of those questions deeply so that when you show up to the field of play called sales, you're able to connect at a level that's vulnerable and authentic, right? And not coming from a place of fakeness.
Well, that's where, you know, I look sometimes and I see the sales motions that involve, you know, hundreds of deals, hundreds of open deals at any one point in time. And I ask, how is it possible that that buying transaction can actually feel personal, right? As, you know, you're dealing with 150 different people at once. And the answer is that without technology and fundamentally without AI as being a part of that technology, I don't think it's possible, right? And certainly not on a prolonged basis and certainly not on a scalable basis, right? We all want to be able to do the most with the highest margins, and the most effective way that we've found to do that is by the effective deployment of technology.
Yeah, that's right. Well, tell us an example of how AI is used in RevOps, maybe even one or two, pick a couple.
Well, you know, a lot of focus is spent on the customer journey, right? And, you know, everybody can claim to do that well. You know, I think it certainly would be, a fallacy to think that no one can improve when it comes to mapping the customer journey and giving the best service to a client on the other end of the medium. But where we see AI being deployed these days is as an effective decision-making tool. So, for example, analyzing a customer's behavior and highlighting key inflection points that they're coming up to allow for that personal touch, right? If someone, for example, is going and opening up the same white paper on someone's website 4 to 6 times, and there's a meeting that's scheduled to speak with that client, you know, 3 days from then, that insight, that knowledge, even if it was in the system, probably wouldn't get highlighted through a natural, you know, detective session, right? There's a lot of data that flows in most of these systems. There's a lot of it that's isolated in silos. And so where we see AI is effectively as the highlighter, right? The red flag or the green flag or whatever color flag you want to call it, that sends up flares and says, hey, pay attention to me. Pay attention to this piece of data that's coming across the table because I'm important to making sure you're going to be more successful as a salesperson. We've seen that across industries from hard tech exercise bikes to SaaS to financial services, right? And each of these has their own nuances, but at the end of the day, it's reliant on the technology stack to be the most effective human, again, in that relationship that they can be.
Sure. The AI is good at spotting the anomaly. The person's not, but getting the anomaly in front of the person is the important part. It's like the Matrix when he can see the girl in the red dress. You remember that?
Yeah.
That scene?
Precisely.
And it's,
precisely.
And that's right. What it is, right? Through all of these many zeros and ones, there she is. She's right there. Don't you see it?
Well, that's where perhaps even more, it's almost like if there was an arrow over top of one that physically wasn't differentiable, right? Like, it's a crowd full of people that all look the same, moving it en masse, and yet you're able to see, ding, 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 this one. This one's the one that you want to pay attention to. And I think that's so valuable, right? That when you think about the impacts on revenue that can have, or even returns on human capital investment that can have, that's incredible.
It's interesting. Side topic.
Yeah.
My board of advisors consists of a lot of people, very smart people, and always continue to tell me, focus on the people who can spend the most money with you and get the most value. And half of my day job now is my Living a Better Story podcast, Living a Better Story, helping the human race with, like, helping them understand that each person is created for a unique purpose on earth and in eternity. And so giving back. So my looking for the arrow doesn't necessarily have to do with driving revenue for my own company right now. And it's an interesting thought, right? How do you cut your life into two parts and say, how do I optimize in both of these different areas?
It's very interesting because as we've been growing my company, it is I would say that it's similar, except that my missions are able to kind of combine, right? I have a term called alternative talent, and it's folks that don't fit the traditional background for what we do, and yet we hire them for different reasons, right? I just hired a 22-year Navy SEAL who's transitioning out of the service, and he's going to be a salesperson for us, right? He's never sold technology in his life, not necessarily was going to be able to land a high-paying job, even with his background right out of the service, because no one would want to take a shot on him, right? And you sit down and you talk with this guy, and he has a breadth of knowledge across every possible thing that you can imagine due to his learned life experience. And I'm able to, as an employer, not only give him a job, right, at a very fundamental level, but also learn from his entire breadth of experience. And all of the team members in my company can learn from that entire breadth of experience. And we've managed to do that time after time after time. And the folks who have the least orthodox backgrounds are often the ones who produce the highest, right? Those yes. arrows, right? Those arrows to me are finely honed over years of kind of EQ development, right? For myself, and saying this person can be a winner, right? All they need is someone to put a little bit of effort into them, and they've got the raw potential to be massively, valuable to an organization. So it's interesting you bring that up, because I see it kind of the same way, in that one part of my vision and my mission can very clearly impact the other in terms of my company's success.
Well, and it's funny, because on the front of my business card now is Ex-Human. On the back is Living a Better Story.
Yeah.
And what you just articulated, the word alternative talent, is precisely, I've had 100 people on Living a Better Story podcast. What I discovered is that there's a group of people, like people who went to prison for some reason, that maybe it was one bad decision or wrong place, wrong time. And now they're out and they want to make a difference in the world. And they've usually found some spirituality and relationship with their creator while they're in there. And now they want to go tell the world. And so there's a lot of really talented folks who go through that system. And same thing, they can't, if they go to try to get a job at McDonald's, oftentimes they can't. But guess what? They could make 3 to 4 times the money doing technology sales from an outbound capacity. So interesting conversation. I think all of this is applicable. Think about, if you're listening to this podcast, hey, we can't find enough people. Maybe you're looking in the wrong places, and maybe you ought to look at alternative talent.
Couldn't agree more. Although, don't look too hard, because then I'm just going to start having trouble finding all the
Yeah, that's right. Beep. We'll just have a lot of beeps during this section in the secret sauce. All right. Thinking about AI, you've grown from 0 to 30 in 16 to 18 months. That's something that just doesn't normally happen. If AI didn't exist, Do you grow from zero to 30, or what are, you know, what does your company look like?
You know, I think we do. I think we still do, right? The true answer is that it hasn't impacted our trajectory as much as it could. It could have been an even bigger accelerant, right? I think there's a knowledge gap, frankly, with the value that artificial intelligence and machine learning can have for businesses that are in anything other than technology, right? Tech is pretty woken up to it, and that's how we've done 0 to 30 in 16 months, right? Everyone else, it's an education thing, right? It's saying, hey, you in financial services, you can use AI to better serve your clients. Hey, you in hard tech, you guys can use AI to better your factories, production lines. You in food, you know, distribution, you know, you can use AI to tell when your supply chain is going to run out of flour in order to make your potato chips, whatever it is, right? I think that we're going to see this renaissance over time of it transitioning out of just a technology-based interest and one that pervades through the rest of our society. So sort of a back answer, I think AI is a huge component of what we've done today, but I think that it would have been even bigger if other folks had been educated on it as well.
Mm, sure. One person on the show was talking about AI at the edge in a drive-through restaurant and how you'll pull up, it's geocoded, it'll say, hey, Seamus, welcome back. Are you here with your girlfriend today? Are your kids with you? You know, would you like to do the same order as last week? And then fast forward a couple years after that, it'll know you only have one person in the car, and so it won't ask you that question. It's getting so interesting, and it's like we talked about at the beginning of the call. Scary yet amazing in the same sentence.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Thinking about 5 years out, where do you see AI in RevOps? You know, what will be different in 5 years than it is today?
So a couple of things have to change. One of them is the talent shortage. RevOps is the single most transient role today because of the, you know, the classic supply and demand problem. There aren't enough people with the skill set, and there's a lot of money in the space, which means that folks are getting poached away on average every 14 months. Mm-hmm. We defend against that by a number of things, hedges like not making people work long hours and paying them pretty well and making them feel a part of a process that we're doing. But the fundamental reality is that that has to change, right? It's such a vital component that there needs to be talent development. And that's why I focused on that earlier in the podcast. We have plans in process to fundamentally grow a new crop of RevOps professionals so that we can really help the companies out there who need that talent but can't afford to pay $200,000-$400,000 a year on one single role. So that's one thing that's going to need to change. The other thing that's going to change fundamentally is that everybody else, just like with AI, all of these other industries are going to wake up to their need. Right now, it's primarily SaaS, that the, you know, startups, technology startups in particular, that recognize the value of a revenue operations professional. And the unfortunate reality is that for a lot of people, at least, is that financial services is going to be next. Hard tech is going to come after that. Consumer goods is going to come after that. And by the end of the five-year period, there should be RevOps in every organization in America. And again, it all comes back to that talent piece. So who knows, right? Nobody has that crystal ball. But I would say that RevOps is only just beginning to become a part of the mainstream conversation. And it's going to continue to do so in a much, much, much bigger way over the next couple of years.
For those listening who aren't familiar with the term revenue operations, how would you succinctly define it? And then how's it different from sales operations and marketing operations and the other operational roles?
Absolutely. So the funny thing is that RevOps means different things to different people all the time, right? It is one of the least easily defined roles because each role is fundamentally different. The way that we define it inside of Carabiner Group is that RevOps sits at the confluence of sales, marketing, and service. And their role is to ensure that the data and the systems for each of those functions remain integrated rather than siloed. And it provides visibility for teams like the COO, CEO, CRO, etc., to have visibility across the entire business to make strategic decisions moving forward. Whereas sales ops focuses on sales, MarOps focuses on marketing, service, etc., RevOps is supposed to be the carabiner, if you will, between all of those things, connecting them, making sure that there's visibility across the whole thing.
Yeah, I love it. When I sat down with the four people by the pool at the conference this week, B2B MX, there was people on both sides, client success and delivery, partner channels, and enterprise sales, and they were siloed a bit. And so we talked about a ROI model, and these people do LinkedIn outreach sequencing. So I said, all right, look, what do you guys think the CEO cares about, the VP of sales, you know, all the different departments? And we got to a point where we said, all right, it starts at revenue. So let's say the company's $10 million. And what do you think they're going to finish at? $9 million. Okay, the gap's $1 million. So then you just have to work your way down the process and say, all right, well, how many meetings do you, how many opportunities do you need to win? So 20 at 50K, got it. So that's $1 million. That'll close your gap. Got it. Okay, now how do we get to the 20 ops that close one? Well, you got to get to 5X that. Okay, so you need 100 ops. How do you get to 100 ops? Well, this, you need this many activities. And with LinkedIn, there's connections, there's accepts, there's in-mails. So, but guess what? They're getting 40% reply rates on many customers. With email, it's only 3%. So the leverage across this, these guys' tools is amazing. And they're like, man, we go into some deals and we sell it for 15 grand and they sign it in a half a second. Other deals, it's really hard. And I'm like, if you can start with the revenue model, the gap, and all those other metrics that roll up to it, then when you hand it to client success, now they're looking at the exact same thing, right? Let's attack the $1 million and here's how we're going to get to it through all these metrics that add up to that. And it was just like the light came on in the dark room. They were like, can you send us that sheet tomorrow? And so they got it. And I think the guy said he's already used it 10 times that day. So it's pretty fun.
Well, that's the thing, what you just did there, right? You made assumptions, right? You made assumptions based off of something. In your case, most likely, it's assumptions based off of experience, right? Mm-hmm. You've been around the block a couple times, probably a couple dozen times at this point.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
And the reality of the situation is that not everyone's done that, and not everyone has the instincts. And even when you do have the instincts, it's really, really helpful to validate those instincts with actual data. And so what RevOps does is it gives you the data to make those decisions in a more educated way, to make those assumptions in a more educated way, which makes you more accurate, which makes your plan more achievable. That's what it really boils down to at the end of the day.
Love it. Well, I got to tell you, Seamus, I feel like I'm sitting across from a younger Elon Musk or Bill Gates. And I can just about guarantee you in 20 years, if I look you up on LinkedIn, I'm going to go, yep, I talked to him when. So I really appreciate you investing some time out of your day. Congratulations on all your success and keep doing what you're doing by, you know, playing both sides of the card and hiring people with alternative talent. That's impressive and it's awesome.
Thank you, Chad. It's been a pleasure talking with you. I'll always take your call.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining another AI for Sales podcast. Absolutely amazing call. I've had a handful this year, and by far, Seamus, you take the cake so far. So thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Hey, you made it this far in your AI for Sales journey. Want to augment your sales growth? First, leave us a review and then visit www.scalex.ai to claim your free strategy session today.